So as most of you know, I'm the youth pastor here at High Mill. And for those of you who don't know, every November as a youth group, we take off on a fall retreat. The whole idea here is to just get away into the woods as a youth group, get refreshed, reconnect with God, reconnect with each other. And it's one of our, well, it's one of my favorite events that we do. I think the kids would say the same thing. Well, this past November, on Saturday morning, we do this thing every single year where we have an alone extended quiet time in the woods. So we give the kids and leaders and myself included some time to just go actually get alone in the woods without any distractions and just with your Bible, your journal, and spend some time getting refreshed, reconnecting with the Father. Well, this past November, that Saturday morning, I was really excited and desperate for that time. I'll be honest, I was going through a really hard season, and there's so much stuff coming at me, so many attacks of the enemy, and just life happening. And so this little moment of pause, this moment of getting alone in the woods, I was desperate for and I was excited for. And I wanted to find the perfect spot where I could get alone and reconnect with God. So I set off in search of it. I found a couple really good spots, but teenagers had beat me to those spots. So I kept going because I wanted the perfect spot. I wanted to be alone. And so I had to hike for a while. I finally found it. I found this little stump in the middle of the woods, no one else around. I had my Bible, I had my journal, I had my pen, I had a cup of coffee, and I went and I sat down on this stump, and the morning sun was coming right through the fall leaves, and it was just hitting me in the eyes, and it felt so good in the fall. And I sat there, and I took a deep breath, and I said, God, thank you for this. I need this. Would you please speak to me? Would you please show me something? And I set my cup of coffee down and sat there for a moment quietly, breathing in and out, just asking God to speak to me. And then I picked up my coffee and I took a sip, and then I went to set it back down. And that's when I noticed something right at my feet. And here I have a picture for you. So I don't know if you can see, but that's a pile of poop. You can see my foot in the corner and my cup of coffee, and in between is a pile of deer poop. I didn't see that when I found my perfect spot. And I had even sat there for a minute, like I said. I'd sip my coffee and I set it down. I just missed it. Well, I looked down and I saw it and I was like, oh, I found the perfect spot and now there's poop here. And now I have to go somewhere else because this is not the perfect spot anymore and I can't just ignore this. So I was frustrated and I was about to get up and keep searching when I heard God speak to me. You know, because I had asked him to please speak to me and show me something and teach me something. And this is what God said to me. He said, there's always going to be crap, Daniel. That's what he said. He said, there's always going to be crap, Daniel. If you're going to keep on searching and trying to find the perfect spot, trying to find some time in your life or some place where you've arrived and everything is good, you're not going to find it. Because the only arrival in this life, he said, is when I return and I make all things new, and I set all things right. In the meantime, there's always going to be crap. There's always going to be a mess. There's always going to be a problem. There's always going to be something. And God said, but I'm asking you to sit above it. I'm not asking you to go anywhere. I want you to sit above it because look around you. My goodness is here. My beauty is here. My glory is all around you, and I am here with you in this moment. Don't get so focused on the mess. Don't get so consumed by staring at the crap beneath you that you miss everything else. And God said to me, Daniel, this is your life. Don't miss it. So I sat there and I journaled all that. I wrote all those words down, and I laughed thinking about how God sent a deer to take a dump right at the stump just before I got there just to teach me a lesson. That was amazing to me. But this really meant something to me. Because I'll be honest, I was missing life. I was really focused on the mess. I was consumed by all the stress and all the problems and all the brokenness in this world. And I had actually believed the lie that I would arrive one day. I thought there was this magic corner I was going to turn any moment and everything would settle down and things would be good. I needed to be told the only arrival is when I return, when Jesus comes here to make all things new and set all things right. That's when there isn't going to be any more mess. But in the meantime, we live in a broken world. There's mess here. There's always going to be mess here. There isn't some magic arrival. So I needed reminded of that. I needed God to just lift my head off of the crap. And I'm sorry if that word offends anybody. That's what God said. So this was God's metaphor of choice for me, so it's going to be my metaphor of choice. I'm going to be using that word quite often in this message, so I apologize. If that bothers you, I'm sorry. You are free to send an email to God. To God. Not me. Please don't email me. I don't need that crap. Don't do that. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. So, yeah, sorry. So, I really needed this. I really needed this reminder. Well, a couple days after fall retreat, I set off alone on my own little fall retreat. Because surprisingly, fall retreat doesn't actually refresh me. Spending a weekend with 30 teenagers and preaching and teaching every single message, like every service I do, and I play hard and we hike and we don't sleep, and so I don't leave fall retreat refreshed. I love it, but it's not for me. It's for them. Well, like I said, I was having a really hard time, and so I knew that, and I knew I need a break and I need a getaway. So I had planned this right after fall retreat. That Tuesday, I got away. I drove south to Virginia. I have family there. And I wanted to escape into the mountains and just get alone and actually have some time with God that really refreshes me. And I was so excited for this little retreat. So I hopped in my car and I headed south, spent some quality time with my cousins, with my family. I hiked in the woods. It was incredible. I should say this. It was an incredible trip, but at times it was also kind of crappy, I'll be honest. Here's what happened. My drive down was awesome. I cranked up music. I sang my heart out. Loved it. But it also rained the entire way. Did not stop raining from the time I pulled out until when I pulled into my cousin's house in Virginia. My time with my cousins was great. I loved them so much. It was wonderful to reconnect with them. But a good friend of theirs died of cancer literally while I was at their house. And so it was heavy. And I was in the midst of grief the entire time. I loved being able to spend time with my aunts and uncles. My Aunt Renda cooked me some sausage gravy and biscuits and good old Southern comfort food. But there was also all kinds of family drama going on that was there that made everything stressful and tense. My time in the mountains was incredible. I was so excited to see the mountains covered in yellow and red fall leaves. I had never seen that before. So I was longing for that, and my time was great. I got to hike. I got to pray. I read Lord of the Rings by a giant waterfall. It looked like I was in the cover. I was in Rivendell. It was amazing. But it also rained and was freezing, and it was so foggy that I barely saw a fall leaf the entire time I was in the mountains. So I left this experience, and I was so thankful that God had showed me that little pile of poop at fall retreat right before. Because normally I would have been so obsessed with everything that went wrong. I would have been so focused and consumed with how this didn't go right. And man, everything is such a mess. And I'm trying to get away from a mess. And there's mess everywhere. I would have missed out on everything else. Like my family. Like life. Like the goodness and beauty and glory of God. And God himself who was with me through all of it. So I was glad that I had that heads up and I had this reminder to keep me focused. And I share all of this with you because I believe that what God showed me last November was not just for me, but I believe it's for us. I believe it's for us as a church. I mean, let's be honest, we've been through some crap, right? I believe this is for us as individuals because so many of us, that's all we see. There's a mess constantly and we're not arriving anywhere. We're not turning any corner where things are calming down or slowing down. There's always something. There's brokenness and there's pain and there's fear and there's worry. And our focus is just on the mess below us. And we miss out on the goodness and the glory of God around us. We miss out on our life. So I believe we need this reminder. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. This is not a power of positive thinking kind of message. This is not, you know, ignore your problems kind of message. This is, let's refocus on the one who can do something about our problems kind of message. Let's lift our heads. And we have to ask ourselves that question, where's our focus right now? Where are we focusing? Are we focused just on everything that's wrong? Are we focusing on the one who can set things right? Are we focused on what people are saying or on what God is saying? Are we focused on all of our fears and all of our worries? Or are we focused on the one who is bigger than all of it and who can do something about it and who is with us no matter what we go through? He is there in the midst of the cold woods and through the rain and through the fog and just above the crap. He is with us always. And he can do something about all of it. But are we focusing on him? Because what you focus on is what you see, right? If it's fear, if it's worry, if it's problems, if it's stress, issues, that's what you're focused on. That's what you see. And for most of us, when that's what you see, that becomes your world. It's like the lens that you see everything through. And when that's all that you're seeing, it's easy for us to want to retreat, like step back. We don't want to move forward anymore. We need to protect ourselves. And so our hearts tend to get hard instead of heal. We want to protect ourselves from the world and from the mess and from the pain, and we're stopped in our tracks. And the enemy knows this. He knows that we are easily stopped. He can constantly stop us. It doesn't even take much, just a little bit of crap at the right time, the right place, and we're done. We're done moving forward. We're done hearing from God. We're done seeking God. We're done being used by God. We are robbed of life. And he knows that. He knows that it doesn't take much. But God, recently God's been showing me something else. God has been showing me us as a church and us as individuals, us as followers of Jesus, sitting above it all with our heads lifted, with our eyes focused on Jesus, unstoppable, living the kind of lives that terrifies the enemy because there is nothing he can do. He can't throw anything else at us. He can't bring us down. So this morning, I want us to dig into Acts chapter 28 to the actual final chapter of Acts. We're going to be looking at the conclusion with Paul as we continue in this series on Awaken. I believe God wants to show us some more about this. Acts 28. You guys can go ahead and turn there, and I'm going to just catch us up because a lot's happening leading up to this chapter. So the Apostle Paul has been through some stuff. He's been put through a lot. He's had a rough couple years leading up to Acts 28. He was mobbed, beaten, falsely accused by his own people, gossiped about, lied about, slandered about. And then he had to face trial, you know, defend himself. So he stood trial first before the high council, then before the governor, Felix, then he testified before Felix and his wife, and then before the governor Festus, and then before the king Agrippa. And the whole time, all he talks about is Jesus. He just keeps telling them about Jesus. Because again, what you focus on is what you see. And Paul wasn't focused on the mob. He wasn't focused on the beatings. He wasn't focused on the lies and the gossip and the slander and the drama or any of that stuff. He was focused on Jesus. And since his eyes were on Jesus, he only talked about Jesus. He didn't have to prove himself. He wasn't trying to defend himself. He was just telling them what Jesus did. And so he stands trial. He tells them about Jesus. Finally appeals to Caesar. And so he's sent by ship to Rome. So he boards this ship. He goes sailing across the Mediterranean. And the next day, the winds pick up. It's him and a bunch of other prisoners. And the winds turn into a typhoon. And they're in this terrifying, dark storm. They end up being shipwrecked on a little island called Malta. And that's where we're going to pick up the story in Acts 28. Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake driven out by the heat bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, "A murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live." But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. And we're going to stop there. So imagine this. After all that Paul has been through for these years, the beatings, the mob, falsely accused, trial after trial after trial, then he weathers a typhoon. Then he's shipwrecked. Now he's on this little island, and it's still drizzling out. It's still cold. He's soaked to the bone, freezing. They start building a little fire because now at least there's a moment when they can get their core temperature back up, where they can warm themselves by the fire and breathe for just a second. Paul, he goes and he gathers up some sticks to help with this fire, and as he's carrying them, one of the sticks starts to slither. It slithers down and latches onto his hand. And he's got a snake hanging off of his hand. Can you imagine this? After everything that he's been through, and now he's got this snake, like the enemy, latched onto his hand. It was like the enemy's last-ditch effort to try to stop Paul. So he's there, he's staring, I picture him staring at it going, "Really? I just got bit by a poisonous snake? After all that I've been through?" And then, as he's staring at this snake hanging off of his hand, the islanders surround him. He has a crowd behind him starting to form opinions about the situation, which that would be even more annoying to me than the snake hanging off my hand. There's a crowd judging behind him. They're like, "Wow, look at that. Man, he probably murdered somebody. It's karma. What goes around comes around." That's what I always say. You get what you deserve. The sea didn't kill him, but this snake will. Why isn't he dead yet? He must be a god. Just like that. This fickle crowd goes from he's a murderer to he must be a god. Nothing like a fickle crowd behind you forming false ideas about who you are, judging you, to top everything else off. Paul isn't fazed by any of this. He shakes the snake off into the fire. He shakes their opinions off. He just keeps on being Paul, still focused on Jesus. He starts preaching to everybody. He starts healing the sick on this island. He was unstoppable. Nothing would faze him. Nothing could keep him from being who he was and doing what God has called him to do. He was so focused on Jesus. It didn't matter about all the trials he had faced, all the beatings, all the lies about him, even the enemy who tried to latch onto him like a snake, all the attacks, none of it could slow him down. And when you look at Paul, when you look at his life, I mean, you talk about someone who's been through some crap. Paul in 2 Corinthians describes it like this. I want to read this to you, and this is out of the Message translation. I just love the way it says it. This is 2 Corinthians 11, and we're going to read beginning in verse 23. Paul says, "I've worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, and at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews' 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day, in hard traveling year in and year out. I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by the desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. And that's not the half of it. When you throw in the daily pressures and anxieties of all the churches, when someone gets to the end of his rope, I feel the desperation in my bones. When someone is duped into sin, an angry fire burns in my gut." When I read this, the question that just kept coming to me was, how was Paul able to live such an unstoppable life, to go through everything that we just heard and read, to face all of it and to keep going, to keep on loving. We find him 3 months later, he's in Rome under house arrest, still telling everyone about the love of Jesus. How was this possible? How can we live that kind of an unstoppable life? The first clue came to me later on in Acts 28, in verse 25. Here, Paul had been, like I said, telling everyone about Jesus. He's under house arrest. And as usual, some people listen to him and believe the message, and some people don't and reject the message. So we're going to pick this up in verse 25. And after they had argued back and forth among themselves, they left with this final word from Paul. The Holy Spirit was right when he said to your ancestors through Isaiah the prophet, go and say to this people, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. And when you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they've closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. So Paul's preaching. Some of the strict religious Jews were rejecting his message. And so this is what he says to them. He points out that they're blind and they're deaf and that they're hard-hearted. And so they can't hear, they can't accept it, they can't receive it. And it makes sense to me how these religious Jews got this way. I mean, if you know anything about the Jewish people, they had been through like hundreds of years worth of crap. I mean, they had been invaded and conquered. They had been hauled off into exile. They had been invaded and conquered and forced to live as refugees in their own home. And not just that, but just all the normal crap that people have to go through day in and day out, and the dealing with their own sin and the weight of their own hypocrisy. It wears on a person. When so much stuff is coming at you, so much stuff is happening, and then you have your daily struggles, it can wear on us and it can weigh us down. And for some of us, it's the only way to cope. Is to close our eyes, is to plug our ears. The problem is that it can become permanent, and we can become blind and deaf to the things of God. We can try to protect our hearts because of all the pain that we're facing, and we don't want to be hurt, and our hearts grow calloused and cold, and we can't feel anymore. This is what happened to the Jewish people. They had become cold and hard-hearted to the things of God. They could still feel the pain. Don't misunderstand. They were well aware of all the pain and the tragedy and all the mess that they were going through. They could still feel that intensely. They just couldn't feel God anymore. They became hard-hearted and cold and blind and deaf to God and his ways. I heard a pastor say once that as followers of Jesus, we want to have thick skin and soft hearts. What we don't ever want to have is thin skin and hard hearts. You can put that on the screen. This is what we want. We want to have thick skin, but soft hearts. We don't want to be thin-skinned with hard hearts. And how this happens is to be thin-skinned means that you're super sensitive. You're really sensitive to anything, anyone around you. If anyone says something, a little bit of criticism, a funny look, anything that someone does to you, it hurts. You're thin-skinned. Your emotions bruise easily. Everything feels like a prick or a poke. You're always on edge. You're so sensitive to situations and to people. But what typically happens is when you're super sensitive that way, and you're trying to protect your heart gets hard. So you'll be so sensitive to anyone and everyone but God or the needs of others. The things of God. You become hard-hearted and callous and numb to God. And so this is what was happening to the Jewish people. Over time, their hearts grew harder and harder, and yet they were so sensitive. They were so sensitive that if anyone asked the question, I mean, the moment Paul asked the question, they formed a mob. They couldn't stand for any words about them, any criticism. They were easily bruised, but their hearts were made of stone. Paul was the exact opposite. Paul was thick-skinned. I mean, really thick-skinned. Like, he could take a punch. He had been attacked and beaten. He literally was stoned one time. Not stoned. actual rocks were thrown at his body. And then he was dragged outside of the city and left there to bleed out. And he got back up and went right back into the city. Paul had some thick skin. He could take criticism. He could take lies about him. He could take gossip. He could take beatings, anything. No matter what the enemy tried to throw at him, it seemed like it bounced right off. He had such tough, thick skin, and yet at the same time, his heart was so soft. He was so sensitive to the things of God. I mean, we just read in 2 Corinthians where he said that when a person feels like they're at the end of their rope, he feels their desperation in his own bones. He feels it. When someone's weighed down by sin and anger against the enemy burns inside of him, he was so sensitive to the needs of others and to the things of God. But his skin was so thick. And I believe this is what made him unstoppable. There was nothing the enemy could do to slow him down. He was so focused on Jesus, and his heart was constantly in the Father's hands. God gave me this image for myself a little while ago that I want to share with you. You see, every Christmas time, as a family, we make clay ornaments. Clay Christmas ornaments. It's a little tradition that we have, and it's a lot of fun. Well, every year we bring out this bin of old pieces of clay from the years. And, you know, we sit down and with our boys, you know, a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and we start to make clay ornaments. Well, every year I have to remind them how to work with modeling clay because they forget. And they always take out a piece, and it's hard as a rock. And they're like, this isn't going to work. And they don't, it's like broken. They don't know what to do with it. And they hand it to me, and I have to remind them that you just have to work with the clay. You just have to squeeze it and press it and pull it, and it's got to warm up in your hands, and then it'll soften, and then you can make whatever you want out of it. Well, God kind of brought this image to my mind about me, because I was going through a season where I could feel my skin thinning, and I could feel my heart was getting hard, and I was very stoppable. Very stoppable. And God showed me my heart, and I actually brought in a clay heart for you. Just a little clay heart I made. God gave me this image. He said, Daniel, this is your heart, and when it's out of my hands, it doesn't take long for it to harden. Now, this piece of clay has not been out of my hands that long, so it's not super hard, but it's not as soft as it was. But this is what God showed me. He said, Daniel, when you keep your heart to yourself and you try to protect it, you try to hold on to it, and it's just out of my hands, it's going to harden pretty quickly. And then what happens is people's words come in and it tears at you and breaks and you get pulled apart and everything seems to hurt and your heart's like this. But if you just give it to me daily, you let it be in my hands, this is what he showed me. I had this image of the Father with my heart like this. Daniel, if you would just give me your heart, I'll take it and I'll work with it. And it'll become soft again and pliable again. And I'll heal it and I'll put it back together. I'll reshape it. And you'll feel it. All of us, we will. We will feel this right here. We will feel this. The moments when we feel like we're being tugged and pulled, that God has hands on us, and we feel this ache in our chest, this tug to forgive somebody that hurt us. We feel this tug to let go and to get over stuff, to stop looking at it and focusing on it. We feel like our hearts are starting to get soft, and we're feeling like we're being molded into something else. Something is changing, and it's uncomfortable sometimes, and we feel the press of it. We feel like we're being asked to do things that are beyond us, things that we would have never thought to do on our own, like going and loving people that are hard to love, like stepping way out of our comfort zone and doing something that we would have never done, going somewhere we would have never gone. We feel like we're being shaped into something better. God showed me this. He said, Daniel, just if you would just let me have your heart, I'll put it back. I'll keep it safe. I'll reshape it. And the more that our hearts are in his hands, the softer they get, and at the same time, the thicker our skin gets. Our skin gets tough. Paul, he goes on to say it like this. Back to 2 Corinthians. chapter 12 now, verse 8. This is after, remember, he gave that long list that we read about all that he's been through. Still reading in the message. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift, and I begged God to remove it. Three times I did that, and then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicapped and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. This is how Paul lived the unstoppable life that he lived. He said that he quit focusing on all his limitations. He quit focusing on all the crap around him like we've been talking about. He just focused on Jesus. And he said that I just let Christ take over. You know, as he puts it, the weaker that we become, the stronger that we are because of him. And this is what I found that's true when I give my heart to the Father. The softer it becomes and the stronger it becomes. It's the hard-hearted that are the most brittle. But when your heart is soft in the Father's hands, you bend instead of break. You can take anything that comes your way because your heart is so soft and flexible in God's hands. And that's what we need. We need those soft hearts and that thick skin. Paul says it so simply here, but I believe this is it. How do we live an unstoppable life? He said he just lets Christ take over. I just let him take over. Let him perfect my weaknesses. We just let him have our hearts. We just keep focusing on him. It sounds so simple, but it's true, and it's all that we need. And I believe this morning that's what God's asking of us. He's saying, would you give me your hearts that are hardened? Would you give me all of your concerns and your fears and your worries? Would you let me lift your head off of all of the mess? Would you let me take over? So this morning, I want to ask you guys to go ahead and stand, and worship team, you can come down. Oh, I had one more verse I wanted to read. I'll read it while you're standing. Because this is, I can't not finish the book of Acts, sorry. This is the last verse in the book of Acts, and it's wonderful. Verse 30. For the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop him. In the end, it was the enemy who got tired and gave up, not Paul. And that's what we want. We want to be able to live such an unstoppable kind of life that the enemy finally is like, I can't do anything. And they got such thick skin, such soft hearts. All they see is Jesus. I can't do anything. No one tried to stop him. So this morning, I want to pray for us. And I struggled with, you know, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to do this? And I feel like he spoke to me and just showed this clearly to me that we're not going to do an altar call. We're not going to ask anyone to come down here. But I want to pray over us as a church, us as brothers and sisters, us as followers of Jesus. And I believe that what God wants to do is he just wants us to surrender our hearts to him. And he wants to take them. And just in that image that you saw, he wants to reshape them. He wants to put the brokenness back together. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to soften your heart. He wants to do this for us as a church. He wants to grab our attention and our focus so that we can move forward unstoppable. So if you want that, I want to pray over you. I'm going to pray over all of us, whether you want it or not. But if you really want that, only you can give your heart to Jesus. I can't do that for you. If you're here and you want that, I feel like God showed me this image of some people just going like this, and you just imagine that your heart is in your hands and you're just saying, Jesus, take my heart. And just even with your eyes closed, picture him grabbing it and just shaping it and molding it. Or maybe for some of you, it's just putting your hand over your heart. And just as it's beating inside your chest, you're going to feel the pressure and the push and the pull of him reshaping it and remolding it. And I believe even as I'm praying, he's going to speak to you and tell you what you need to do and how you need to step out or what you need to let go or who you need to forgive or whatever he wants to do to heal that heart of yours. So I want to pray that over us, and then we're going to close with communion and a song of worship. But if you could just bow your heads, close your eyes, put your heart in your hands or put your hand over your heart. Join me as we pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And God, first, we just want to repent and ask for forgiveness, Lord, for being so focused on everything but you. We're sorry, Jesus, for taking our eyes off of you. We're sorry for being consumed with the mess around us and not with what you want to do in the midst of it. But we're here now, and we've got our heart in our hands, and we're giving it to you, God. We're giving our hearts back to you. We're asking that you would take our hearts and that you would put them back together. Heal the brokenness that's there. Break them for what breaks yours. Help us to become soft and tender towards the things of God. Let us feel that push and pull again. Let us feel that tug on our hearts again. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us right now in Jesus' name, showing us, even bring the images to our minds of what we need to do. Who do we need to forgive? What do we need to let go? What issues are bogging us down that we need to move on from? Speak to us, Lord. God, I pray that as you take our hearts, that you would keep them safe, that you would guard them, that you wouldn't allow the enemy to harden us anymore. And at the same time, Father, I pray that we would grow some thick skin as a church, as followers of Jesus, that you would make us tough like the Apostle Paul, brave like him, bold like him, unstoppable like him. We surrender all that we are to you this morning. We're going to choose to give our hearts to you daily. And Jesus, we want to keep our focus on you and you alone. We give you all that we have and all that we are. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.